It's 7:43 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. This morning, a family discovers a sister on the other side of the globe they never knew they had. We'll have that story and more coming up. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. In this weekend's episode of Inside Appalachia, we share stories of people searching and finding connections. One story starts in an old farmhouse in Pickens, West Virginia, home to the Nestor family in the latter part of the 20th century. A lot has changed in the past 50 years, but perhaps the biggest difference since their childhood isn't the kids and grandkids they've gained, it's the sister they met 30 years ago from Austria. Emily Allen joined up with the family at a recent reunion to hear their story.
Margarete Bogenhuber, komme aus Oberndorf bei Salzburg, Österreich, Austria.
This is Margaret Bogenhuber. She grew up in the small town of Oberndorf, Austria. Not as small as Pickens, but small. It's right outside the city of Salzburg, which is like 100 times bigger. Oberndorf is known for the Silent Night Chapel, the first place where the song Silent Night was sung. Margaret lived near here, with her stepfather and her mother, who worked in a chocolate factory.
Did you get to eat a lot of chocolate?
Yes.
Margaret's childhood wasn't always so sweet. A lot of it, she recalls, was lonely. Margaret says she spent a lot of time wondering who her biological father was and longing for siblings.
Family, ich bin ein Einzelkind.
This is Margaret again with her daughter, Doris, translating.
So she has no siblings in Austria. She grew up alone with her mom and the stepfather.
Margaret didn't find out until after she was married in the mid-60s that her biological father was a man named Clinton Nestor, who had traveled to Austria as a mess sergeant in World War II. Margaret didn't know about the four other Nestor kids, her siblings who lived in Pickens. She often worried about reaching out, because she was scared her dad's family would be unwelcoming.
Etwas in irgendeiner Familie kaputt zu machen.
She asked her mother, "Can you tell me who is my father?" And her mother said, "Oh no, I don't tell you because I don't think it's good to damage another family."
Margaret was in her mid-30s when she finally got up the nerve to write her first letter to her father. Over the years, she would continue to send him dozens more, but they all came back unopened.
No reaction. No response. No.
It turns out he wasn't responding to the notes because a relative of his who worked at the post office was returning them. Margaret didn't know that the letters weren't getting to her father. All she knew were the experiences of other people in Oberndorf who had American fathers, who also had been rebuffed. So Margaret was surprised to finally get something back years after she sent her first letter. A new postmaster had taken over the local post office, where she had been sending her letters. He let Margaret know that her father had died a few years earlier. He gave her the new address for Clinton's family in Pickens. The next letter she wrote in 1979 has become a sort of family treasure to the Nestors. In fact, the letter is so important to them that half-brother Don Nestor keeps a typed version in a three-ring binder to this day.
I can read it.
This is Deb Morgan, maiden name Nestor, Margaret's half-sister.
I was told from the postmaster of your town, Mr. Shahan, that your husband died several years ago. I am very sorry about that, since your husband, Clinton Nestor, born on the 4th of April, 1915, was my father. Please don't be angry with me now, since a child cannot choose their parents. So, when we got this letter, We all wrote back.
When the first note arrived in Austria from West Virginia, Margaret was ecstatic.
And I was so happy.
The families continued to correspond by writing letters and by phone.
We were all excited, our mom included. She was very excited to meet Margaret. My mom would say, "What did we talk about before Margaret?"
As the Nestors learned more and more about this newfound half-sister in Austria, Don says they all ended up learning more about their father and a part of his life he had kept hidden from the family while he was alive.
This is the diary that he kept.
This is the actual diary.
While he was in Europe, Clinton Nestor recorded his day-to-day life in a journal.
It starts in March of 1944, and it ends 2 years later when he came home in 45. Well, at the end of 45, he came home.
Don says this diary has always been around, but the family didn't give it much notice until they began corresponding with Margaret. The entries aren't too detailed. Each day probably just has a couple of sentences to it. But Don says it's a good glimpse into a time in his father's life that he had kept private from his children.
For instance, he mentions about seeing Betty Hutton and Bob Hope in a USO show.
Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Betty Hutton.
I'm just an Arkansas maid who's trying to...
He mentions about staying with people that were kind and friendly. Mentions about, he has names of people here that were killed in his unit. You get a glimpse of how war is hard on everyone. And the casualties of war are on both sides.
So after reading the diary, what would Don want to ask his father?
Did you ever think it would come to this?
Yeah.
In your wildest imagination, do you think a bunch of American and Austrian citizens would be sitting here in Pickens?
In 1981, Margaret and the Nestors finally got to meet face-to-face in West Virginia. They have since met several times over the years, sometimes in Austria, sometimes in the United States. This summer, they got together once again at a family picnic in Pickens. Again, here's half-sister Deb Morgan talking about Margaret, about the time they first met nearly 40 years ago.
And I think you spent most of your time in Pickens, right? The first time.
Yeah.
So we just sat around like this, or played horseshoes, or drank beer. Yeah, a lot like this, yes.
Earlier in August, more than 30 members of the combined three-generation Austrian and American family met on Sister Terry's farm in Pickens. Her brother Don Nestor says his children, his nieces, and his nephews all know Margaret as their aunt. They've grown up on this story. It's sort of become a family legend.
I think, too, the grandchildren, that generation, they're still family. It's as close as us. It is.
As the family sits around eating pulled pork sandwiches and watching the grandchildren play, several members of the family say the big lesson here is perseverance. If Margaret hadn't continued to write year after year, the Nestors wouldn't have known she existed, and she would have never found her siblings on the other side of the globe. For Inside Appalachia, I'm Emily Allen in Pickens, West Virginia.
Emily Allen is a Report for America Corps member. That story is part of this weekend's episode of Inside Appalachia. Listen Sunday morning at 7 and again Sunday evening at 6 here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:53. Rain today with high temperatures in the 50s in the eastern panhandle. Temperatures falling elsewhere into the 40s by this afternoon. Mostly cloudy tonight with lows in the 30s. There's a chance of rain tomorrow with highs in the 40s and 50s. Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting is provided by Segra, providing next-generation communication solutions over an expanding fiber optics network. More information at segra.com. Thank you. treasure of West Virginia flat picking and old-time music, Robin Kessinger first met Tyler Grant in 2005 at the Wayne Henderson Festival and Contest in Virginia. Kessinger was a judge for a flat picking contest that Grant won that year. The pair developed a friendship and eventually made some duo arrangements of classical material connected in some way to the Kessinger family. Here they are performing My Blue Ridge Mountain Home as our song of the week.
And then my heart goes to pining for my Blue Ridge Mountain home. With the pine trees a-playing and the hound dogs a-baying, that is where I long to roam. When the sun comes a-beaming and I've started to dreaming of a place where flowers bloom. When I get back again, I'm gonna live till the end in my Blue Ridge Mountain home. Be so sad till I left my mountain home. But the time is a-coming when I'll be so glad and I never more will roam. For I've learned a lesson that I won't forget wherever I may be. And oh, how I'm longing for the folks back home, for they mean more than all the world to me. When the stars go to winking and I started to thinking of the girl I left behind. And I keep on a-praying while I know she's a-praying that I'm coming back sometime. With the old fiddle singing I will soon be a-swinging to the tune of Home Sweet Home. For I know she'll be waiting by my old garden gate in my Blue Ridge Mountain home. Mother and my cute little brother will welcome me back home. And I know they'll be happy when I climb the hill to my Blue Ridge Mountain home.
Was Robin Kessinger and Tyler Grant performing My Blue Ridge Mountain Home live on Mountain Stage. To hear this and more, tune in Friday and Saturday nights at 8 right here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our Appalachia Health News is a project. It's made possible with support from CAMC and Marshall Health. West Virginia Morning is produced with help from Caitlin Tan, Jessica Lilly, Carol Lofton, Liz McCormick, Dave Mistich, Brittany Patterson, Eric Douglas, Corey Nollinger, Emily Allen, and Roxy Todd. Our news director is Jesse Wright. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.